From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Fresh from the battlefields of Hobart Winter Game Fest 4 in the valleys of Devil Island Con, aka Dicon, this is a battle-weary edition of the Dice Men Cometh, swapping war stories of crushing victories, glorious defeats, and especially stories of dropping little bits of cardboard on the dark brown carpet and having them disappear forevermore. Trent and Mark with you for another Wednesday evening. G'day.
Trent, are you well?
No. Don't ask.
I'm guessing that I'm going to be talking about crushing victories and you're going to be talking about crushing defeats.
See, there you go again. Right away, we're not 30 seconds into the show. There you go again.
We have got a show packed to the rafters with gaming goodness. Of course, we are going to talk about Winter Games Fest 4 and Dicon, all the gaming we got up to, and there was a lot. We're also going to talk about the mother of all game conventions, Gen Con in Indianapolis. It's about to happen. We've got all the news. We've got more half-assed news about Gen Con than you care to hear. And if you haven't heard enough about Winter Games Fest 4, we're going to talk about it more. All that and lots more.
Yes, and we start the show with a happy tune from Slipknot. That's how you start a radio show, eh?
Oh, I've got to take a breath.
On Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, Trent and Mark with The Dice Men Cometh and Slipknot. All hope is gone. Slipknot, I play that for a couple of reasons. Well, mainly because they're probably going to be the headliner at next year's Soundwave Festival for 2015. That seems to be one of the leading rumours slash contenders.
Yep.
Their new album's on the way. They've released the first track from it. It's really average, so I thought I'd play something from the last one.
Okay.
How are you, mate?
I am well. Actually, I've got a bit of a head cold in case I sound a bit nasty.
Oh, well, I'll play another Slipknot track. That'll help.
But look, I'm well fresh from a full-on weekend of gaming.
Yeah, now we should just explain for anyone who hasn't heard this before. This is a show about nerds playing board games.
And card games.
And card games. And occasionally role-playing games and miniatures. And we've just had a big weekend of all of that here in Hobart where we broadcast from. With Devil Island Con, the inaugural.
Yeah, inaugural Devil Island Con, which featured Hobart Winter Games Fest 4. So the fourth time in 4 years in a row that we've put together. In the past, it's been a Saturday of gaming. This time, it was actually 2 days of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that a whole bunch more.
So need I ask, Mark, have you been playing anything lately?
I played a couple of games.
Actually,
I spent a lot of time on the front desk just meeting and greeting a lot of the friendly Hobartian gamers and our interstate visitors. But I did finally get to play a game. I talked about it last year. It was in my most hotly anticipated playing games of 2014. A game so dripping with theme, it even has its own theme song.
Which Mark is now currently playing on.
Oh! And for all you brown coats out there, you'll recognise that as the theme, the Serenity song, the Ballad of Serenity.
As played on the Nokia. What is that?
The HTC One M8.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll just turn that down a bit. I finally got to play Firefly, the board game.
By Gale Force.
By Gale Force 9, yeah. Only came out in September 2013. So still a fairly new hotness. And, you know, it was one of those games I was very trepidatious about it because on one hand, it just seemed to be dripping with theme, really done well. But on the other hand, I was having a bit of the Arkham Horror nightmares of, oh my God, you know, have they tried to pack too much into it where it just becomes an overblown beast where you really don't enjoy it?
Licensed product, pictures of the cast from Firefly, the franchise that will not die, all over it. Little plastic models of the Serenity spaceship.
Yes.
Fantastic looking money.
Great graphic design. Oh, the most beautiful paper money I've ever seen in a game. I mean, it almost looks real, like real paper money.
With all the little bits of Chinese writing that permeated the set design of the show.
And yeah, if people are following our Twitter feed, they would have seen the pictures of the Chinese money. It didn't let me down.
Wow.
I'm really pleased to say. Now, I did play a sort of a not a training scenario, an introductory scenario, I guess, for because we were all new players to the game, apart from the our good friend of the show, David, who puts our podcast together and streams it for us. He taught it at his game.
So it's different scenarios.
Yeah, so you can play different scenarios. So our scenario was you basically had to complete two jobs, get solid with two contacts, and get 6,000 credits and go back to Nishka, the man with the knife, pay back the loan, and you win the game.
Get the bounty off you.
Yeah, so it was sort of, I think it took us about 90 minutes, which for this sort of, this sort of game is quite good, and we will, you know, and including an explanation. Now, David does tell me that the longer version of the game, and there are quite a few different scenarios, and there's been some expansions with extra scenarios where it can be a 3 to 4 hour game.
Okay.
But I think, given the theme, given the beautiful look of the game, if you're playing with the right group of people, much like we were chatting earlier, you know, if you play a game like Battlestar Galactica with people that don't have a clue what that story is about, you're not going to have the same sort of fun as if you play it with people that have watched the whole TV shows and just love talking about fracking toasters.
So here's my question. Is this a game for fans of the show, or is it for gamers who happen to have watched Firefly? Because it does seem to be a fairly involved game.
Look, I think you'd want to know what Firefly was before you played it, because so much of it is about the theme and all the cards with quotes and pictures and everything like that. I think you'd miss a lot if you didn't know anything about it, and I think it wouldn't be worth the time. Having said that, you know, it is a fun sort of a pick up and deliver type of game.
Yep.
And a lot of those do take a while. The name of the most famous one,
Merchants of Venus.
Yeah. You know, that's not a short game in itself. So, but I think the people that do know the Firefly universe will really, really appreciate it. I'd say definitely give it a try. I'm looking forward to playing one of the more involved scenarios. Beautifully produced game, plays well, dripping with theme, Firefly the board game.
Let me get on that. My weekend consisted of picking up a brand new title for my own collection and getting it taught to me and then turning around immediately and teaching it to some other people because that's how much I loved it. Francis Drake.
Hang on. Not Francis Drake, the Euro game.
It is a Euro game, yes.
So I played an Ameritrash game and you played a Euro game.
I keep telling you that this whole idea you have in your head that I don't like Euro games, it's bunk. It's not true.
Okay, I just check on that.
I like a Euro game that's pretty and has nice bits. And let me tell you, this has it the little galleons that you have to the actual board itself, which is this incredible map of what's now called Central America. Francis Drake, if you're not up on your history, if you're just, you know, like me, you nod as if you know who that person was.
Yes, that's right.
I now, of course, completely know that he's an English explorer and rumoured lover of the Queen Elizabeth I. He was in the film with Cate Blanchett.
Briefly.
Yes, made three journeys to Central America. And
the New World.
And messed with the Spanish there, and that's what you're doing in this game.
Mm.
But before you do that, before you take one of your three journeys, and there's only three turns in this game, that's what's incredible. First up, you've got to provision your ship, and that's a whole involved half of the game right there, where you're wandering down this street, placing little action markers on every shop and every provision that you want to go into and buy. The catch being that you can't go backwards.
Yeah.
So you've got to get in first, because there's only limited spots to get the stuff that you want. But because you, by being first, you're going to miss out on some stuff that other people are going to get. Stock up your ship, then get yourself to Central America and hope that you've got enough guns and enough troops to actually tackle the Spanish, fight the galleons, invade the forts. This is a fantastic game. I'm not doing it any kind of justice by describing it really briefly here, but Francis Drake, designed by an Australian designer, Peter Hawes.
And we did talk about that this is definitely one we want to get a few more plays under our belt, because I did play in the first game where we both learned it together. Look, we'll just briefly review the placings in that game, will we? You know, good friend of the show, Ben, did win very cunningly. I came a very close.
Ben's a good gamer, and bad yourself. Yeah, that's true.
I did come a very close second.
And moving on.
And Oren came third. I think Daylight was fourth, fifth, and sixth. Was you.
So I came last in my first game. Yeah. All right, I was learning.
But we all learned. It was all our first game.
And then I taught the second game, and I did better in that one.
How much better?
I came third instead of last. Look, it's not my fault. I'm stupid.
We shouldn't take away from the game at all. It is a fantastic game.
Kids, it's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game.
Except if you always lose. Anyway, we did definitely say it's one we want to get under our belts a bit more. And then we want to have a chat to Peter Hawes, being an Australian designer, and it being such a fantastic game.
I'm a bit scared of talking to him. He's a GP. He's quite the brainiac.
Although I hear he doesn't actually play games. He just designs them.
Well, look, we'll have to see if we can actually put together an interview.
Peter, if you're out there, hello. You've designed a great game.
Francis Drake and Firefly, two great sounding games that we've been playing lately at Hobart Winter Games Fest. And we're going to be talking about that in just a sec on the Dice Men Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM. The Novocaines on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM with the Dice Man Cometh, Trent and Mark, here in the middle of, what month is it?
August.
The biggest month in board gaming in the Western calendar, with Gen Con in the States just about to start tomorrow, I think, actually, our time.
Mm-hmm.
And 43,000 people attended Gen Con last year, which set the record. Imagine that many gaming nerds in one place. Imagine the air conditioning system that needs to cope with that. Here in little old Hobart on the other side of the world, we just made do with, what, 120 people?
Yeah, we had about 120 on the Saturday and about 70 on the Sunday, which was up on our previous... last year we cracked the 100.
That's a guess. We haven't actually added them all up.
Last year we cracked 100. And look, I think the great thing I think about this event for us was about 50% of those people were people not known to us, so had never come along to a Hobart Game Society event, or hardly ever. Had come in off the street, a lot of them. New people into gaming. Trent went out, did the Vox Pops, had a chat to a couple of them, and let's see what they had to say.
Hobart Game Society President Carl Rodham, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Trent.
The weekend, has it been a success from your lofty perspective?
From my 6 foot six. Oh, okay, I'm not 6 foot six. It's been great. I think it's been a fantastic weekend. I haven't been able to be here all weekend, but I've been watching the posts on Facebook when I haven't been here, and it's been a great attendance. I've seen lots of smiles. I've seen a lot of new people through the door. Look, I think it's been absolutely fantastic. I couldn't have asked for a better time. Lots of smiles, friendly faces, interstate guests. What more could we ask for?
What about the matchup with Area 52 and the combination with the Warhammer tournaments and bringing all the nerdness together in one big nerdgasm? How's that worked for you?
A place the size of Hobart, we need to... I mean, they do that in PAX. They do that in Sydney. I think a place the size of Hobart, we need to combine our efforts like this. It gives us the ability to have a better venue, get more publicity. I think it's fantastic.
Sarah, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How's your weekend been?
Well, I've played heaps of games, did lots of learning games, which was good, because it means hopefully that more people will be interested in coming to Hogs and playing with us again. It's been good seeing people that you don't see. We've had a few people from the mainland come down to play with us, and it's been a really good weekend.
One of the brains behind Hobart Winter Games Fest for this year has been this man here that I'm talking to, John Bronston. A resounding success, I believe.
Overwhelmingly successful.
You have been one of the... let's call it what it is. You've been pretty bloody bossy for the past 48 hours, mate. Pretty bloody bossy.
Someone has to do it. Has to be the bad guy.
Yeah, well, what...
And a good guy.
What's that entailed? You've been making sure somebody has been on the door and keeping people friendly?
Signing people up, making sure games that were scheduled to run at a certain time were running at that time.
Yeah.
And making sure there's enough chairs for everybody and tables. You know, I mean, just organizational stuff.
Yeah. So what's the idea? Somebody wanders in and you just want to look after them, yeah?
Yeah, you say hello, what are you interested in, where do you live, how many games do you play, would you like to try this one? If somebody finds a game that they want, I hold it up and say, anybody want to play this game? You know, works out.
And as much as possible, normalizing the hobby, yes?
Well, it's probably true that over 50% of the people here are computer people or ex-computer people, and the rest are all engineers and their wives or their husbands in some cases. Yes. But yes, I mean, we had a gamut here from 3 years old to, you know, almost 70-year-old, and everybody's playing and everybody's having a good time.
Cam and Joe, you've made the pilgrimage now from Melbourne. Welcome, and how's it been?
Oh, look, I've had a ball. I've had an absolute ball. I got in a couple of key games that I wanted to play, and I've taught a couple of games that I really love, and I've shared the love there, so that's that's a great thing. I've had a really good time.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I don't want it to end.
Thanks a lot for sharing Francis Drake. That's been just a fantastic experience. It really has. Cam, you had a good weekend?
Great weekend. Managed to play quite a few games that I've wanted to play, and had people teach them to me, and that's always good.
Now, look, my favourite thing about the fact that you guys have come back for your second Hobart Winter Games Fest is that you were the first two canaries in the coal mine for last year,
yeah.
And you brought friends with you, which means we've doubled our interstate attendance.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Look, our pleasure. It's the least we can do. Yeah. It's a great time.
Your friends have had a good time? They haven't been too scared by the Taswegians?
They've had a great time, an absolutely great time. And one of them, this was his first con, and he's had an absolute ball. So,
will you say nice things about us when you go back to the mainland?
Of course, like we didn't last time.
Who should wander in when you open the door and invite people? Anyone might turn up. Joel Reinberger from Nerdzilla, good evening.
Hello there, how you doing?
I'm great, mate. Thanks for turning up.
Oh, no worries. It's been a fun day. I've played a few games I've never done before. And most importantly, I've watched you yet again being defeated at Seven Wonders.
Clearly, yeah. Well, I don't really want to talk about the Seven Wonders tournament I was in, but no, I'm not going to. No, you can't make me. You were here both days, so you've enjoyed yourself.
I have. Look, I've wandered around and met a bunch of people. It's all a pretty happy group, this. You know, people here to play games are all happy, are all smart. You know, you don't get too many dummies who like to play this sort of game, and I find that really refreshing. And people are willing to help you learn new stuff. I learned two completely new games while I was here. And then one of them I played again, and I was the only one who'd played it, and so I had to teach everyone else how to do it. And that's a rather sweet thing to do, to be able to pass it on.
Now, you get yourself around quite a few events of this nature. You're neck-deep in nerd culture. What is it about these events that makes them special, or is there something that's different about this event compared to other similar things that you might go to, like other conventions interstate? Can you give us some kind of comparison or give us a bird's-eye view?
The thing they have in common is the love. Mm. You are here because you love to do a particular thing, and you're all here doing it together. The thing that makes this particular convention, I think, more warm and more pleasant than your standard nerd con is that you're doing stuff together. You're not just walking around buying things and listening to people and just paying $50 to have a photo or something. The joy of this is you sit down and you play, and there's actual interaction with strangers. You know, normally you meet an eye, you take a photo, that's it. You're pretty much a little self-contained unit here, mixing and mingling. I played games with three completely different groups of people while I was here, and I feel I've actually met and had a chat and had some fun with all these people. I wasn't just drifting past them having fun. We had fun together, and that's a bit of something you don't get at the average comic convention.
Well, mate, it's been good to see you. Thanks for coming.
No worries.
That's Joel Reinberger for the ABC's Nerdzilla, who joined us at Hobart Winter Games Fest on the weekend.
And he had a great time, actually. It was good. He spent the first day most of the time doing some interviews for Nerdzilla, getting some audio, and then he came back the second day and actually played games.
Yep.
And he played Lords of Waterdeep for the first time. He really enjoyed that. He played Get Bit, the little shark Lego man game. He had an absolute ball, and I think that was one he then taught to a group of people. So, look, there were so many people there having a great time. It was great to see people come back both days. It was great to see people come in, not know what to expect, and stay for hours.
Man, I played a lot of Splendor over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was my kind of go-to game when you had somebody new who didn't really know what was going on. We had an elderly couple come in at one point, and she was doing some volunteering at an old folks' home.
Yeah.
And she was looking for something to replace rummy or gin, just something fresh. And I look immediately just pulled out Splendor and I said, look, this is a very, very simple rule set that you can teach in 5 minutes. It's large print on the cards. It's very colourful. And
well, there's basically no language at all there, is there?
Exactly, not language dependent. Yeah. So, that's a fairly low barrier for entry for people who might have some kind of cognitive impairment or something like that. Go for it. And there's a real game there.
Yeah, and speaking of cognitive impairment, Have you won a game of Splendor?
Yes. Thank you for... Listen. Hey. My 7-year-old beat me once.
Yeah.
Just once.
Yeah.
I haven't played with her again since then. But...
And there was a Seven Wonders tournament
there
too.
There was a Seven Wonders tournament. And I won $10. Thank you very much.
How did you
coming
win?
Second.
I was going to say,
overall.
How did you win $10 if you'd never won a game?
It was three. Let me tell you, it was three rounds of Seven Wonders.
Mm.
Let me back up a moment. Seven Wonders, fantastic card drafting game that I've never won a game of, ever. One of my favourite games.
Yeah, it's a great game.
And we've been playing it for the past couple of years, just haven't been able to crack it. Never even come close to winning. So there were three rounds in this tournament. Mm-hmm. We paid some money to get in, and Tessa took out the grand prize. Mm-hmm. She took out first place. In the second game,
mm-hmm.
I tied for first place with her. I tied for first place. So
that's almost a win. Yeah.
Technically, I still haven't actually bloody won a game. Second overall. Yeah. I came away with money in my pocket, Mark. All right?
Hey.
I'm going to count that as...
Hey.
Did you, almost
so,
a win.
So did you win more than it cost you to enter? That's the question.
Yes.
Yay. That's it. That's
the
a
difference.
That's a win,
the
then.
Difference was $10.
Look, you talked about playing.
Which has gone straight back into the game collection already.
That's right. Yeah. What helped to pay for Francis Drake, didn't it? look, one just want to mention, Love Letter for me was the game that I taught to quite a few new people that were sort of sitting around looking, going, oh, not sure to make of this. I said, oh, you know, you've got 10, 15 minutes, sit down, let's have a look at this. It's a really simple card game, but just give it a bit of a go. They all stayed till the end of the game. They all really liked it. And then we're like, okay, what next?
Mm-hmm.
So it worked really well. I used Set as well for a couple of people who were just, there wasn't enough people to play an actual game.
Is that the dice?
No. So Set, when you're laying out the cards and there's like three different coloured symbols with three different coloured shading and you're looking for sets of three, it's almost like more like a puzzle than a game.
Mm.
But look, I was excited. I did play Francis Drake, as you heard. I did get in a game of Eldritch Horror. And same again, it was action-packed. Jo from Melbourne played it. She hadn't played it before. She was on the edge of her seat. We won the game in the penultimate turn.
Everybody was talking about this,
One point away from the doom track of where you lose the game.
Where
so
the
it was
whole
like,
world was going to get sucked
the
down
world was
into
going
some
to be devoured.
Tentacle-filled vortex.
That's right. And so it was great. Again, and it was 2.5 hours maybe. You know, including explanations. So for me, that game is still great. I know you haven't had any luck with it, but I enjoyed it. And look, Winter Games Fest, I just had a great time.
If any of this sounds even remotely like fun, the good news is that if you're in Tassie, you can play with us at the Hobart Game Society every weekend of the year. All right, and if you just look us up on Facebook, all the deets are on there. If you're interstate, if you're international, outside of Australia, we know some of our listeners are, just get yourself onto Board Game Geek, and it's BoardGameGeek.com. It's a bloody awful website.
It's really hard to navigate, but it's worth it.
There are forums on there, and if you can just, with a little bit of nous, find your way through those, you should be able to find a listing for a local game group near you that hopefully won't be too far away.
Yep. The good news is we're already planning Hobart Winter Games Fest 5 in 2015, so... Start thinking about making the pilgrimage to Hobart now.
All right, from one extreme to the other, from the world's smallest gaming convention to the world's biggest Gen Con, which happens this week in the States. We're going to talk all about that in just a moment on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and we are cruising down FDR with Oberhofer and the Dice Men Cometh. Before that, we had Don't You Fall by Barry Jones. I actually know Barry Jones. That's quite interesting.
Isn't he the former Minister for Science?
Yeah, I think it's a different Barry Jones, but if it is, he's sounding good. Now, you know what? It's that kind of time. It's time for the hard-hitting... half-assed Gen Con news with your friendly Gen Con journalist. At least that's what I like to call him. Trent, the great rock and roll Swindells, with everything you wanted to know about Gen Con.
Well, look, honestly, if you're trying to sort of put together a bit of a thing about board gaming news, it's hard to talk about anything but Gen Con at the moment, which is the annual gaming convention in Indianapolis, which runs from the 14th to the 17th of August, billing itself as the best 4 days in gaming.
Mm.
It's been running in various forms, this event, for 46 years.
Oh, wow.
500 plus games, I think, are going to be on display, either for sale or being demoed or being released, and at least 100 of them are going to be zombie games. I've had a look at, an exhaustive look at every single one of these games. Not really, no. I've put together a half-ass list of stuff that I think is interesting, kind of in no particular order, and this is stuff that either will be at Gen Con, won't be at Gen Con, is already out but will be at Gen Con, will only be demoed at Gen Con but not yet for sale at Gen Con. And you know what? From our point of view here in Australia, this is all just stuff that's going to be arriving later in the year.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So this is just stuff to look out for around the general cyclone cluster F of... because it is a big mess.
Just all happens, and it's going to take weeks and weeks to digest this stuff.
That's right.
Luckily, we come back every week to do this.
And these gaming companies have got no idea whether stuff is going to even actually be there at the event the day before, because there's trucks of pallets of stuff going backwards and forwards. Okay, starting at the top, from 8th Summit Games, a little thing called Till Dawn.
Is it zombies?
It's vampires. Okay. 4 to 8 vampires, a 30-minute game played over the course of 3 nights. Sounds a little bit like Werewolf with Vampires. 120 cards in a coffin-shaped box. That and the fact that it's designed by Richard Launius has attracted me.
Richard Launius from Arkham Horror.
That's right.
He's and Eldritch Horror.
Got a couple of things coming out at Gen Con, actually. Also, Alien Uprising, which is a co-op game, a little bit like a kind of Starship Troopers theme or Enemy Mine, if you remember that one from the 80s. You're stuck on an alien planet. You've got to repair your ship while you're fighting off hordes of critters, rolling dice to see what actions are available and choosing from them. And there's also Richard Launius's zombie game called Run, Fight or Die, or Zombies with Rock, Paper, Scissors. More serious, Academy Games have got a thing called Fief, or Fife. Not really too sure how to pronounce that. Fife, France, 1429. This is actually an update of a classic Euro game from France, updated with some new rules. It features negotiation, area control based on intrigue between nobles of medieval France, competing for influence in the church. There's marriage alliances and treachery and income and knights and siege engines. And you win by accumulating just 3 victory points, which makes me think that they would be hard-fought victory points in Fief/Fife, France, 1429. AEG Games got a big presence at Gen Con this year. Doomtown Reloaded. It's an updated version of the Deadlands Doomtown collectible card game, which was part of the late 90s glut of CCGs. 4 factions fighting over control of a western town. Good if you like that kind of thing. Istanbul is going to be big at Gen Con, the Kennerspiel des Jahres winner. You know, the more I look at Istanbul, Mark, the more I think there's actually a good game in there. I'm keen to give it a go, that's for sure. Yeah. AEG are also putting out a couple of expansions for Smash Up, featuring vampires, werewolves, giant ants, and mad scientists all in the one box.
Right.
And Train, Rising Sun, the expansion for the game.
What should I say? Woo-woo.
Trains was apparently the best train game ever. A deck builder with a board. It might be the best game ever invented. I wouldn't know. I'm not going to play the bloody thing.
Although apparently this expansion really expands, funnily enough, the area control board side as opposed to the deck building side.
AEG have also putting out a couple of sequels to Love Letter. One's called Lost Legacy: The Starship, so kind of slacking on a sci-fi theme, to essentially the same game. Ape Games have got Island Siege, which promises Caribbean conquest and colonization in under 30 minutes. Arcane Wonders are presenting an update of Sheriff of Nottingham. What's an update of? Robin Hood, okay. Of course. It's a great-looking game, fantastic art in it. Apparently in this one you're lying to everybody. You're the sheriff. Well, everybody gets a turn playing the sheriff, and you're trying to stop all the other merchants from smuggling goods into Nottingham. So it's just an out-and-out deception, lying game, which sounds and looks great.
Look, I do want to point out, just so the listeners understand, even though I call this news half-assed, there's nothing half-assed about four typed pages, Trent.
I hope everyone's feeling comfortable. We're not going to do this all at once.
No, no.
Ares Games have got Battle of the Five Armies. If you know the reference, if you know the game War of the Ring, if you're a fan of The Hobbit, then you know what to expect from this one. It's going to be huge. Battle of the Five Armies from Ares Games. Artipia Games are promoting Among the Stars, which was a big Kickstarter hit, but is getting a wider release now. We talked earlier about
The Seven Wonders, similar sort of in space.
Yeah, but this one is what they're calling it's the real gamer's game. You know, it's supposedly better or superior to Seven Wonders. Bezier Games and their designer Ted Alspech, who published Suburbia last year, has got his follow-up, Castles of Mad King Ludwig. If you know your European history, this is the castle that the Disneyland castles, based on this insane Austrian count who built the most ridiculous castles out there. It's a tile-laying game where you have to essentially do that for him. Bezier Games are also publishing a kind of sequel to Suburbia that Ted Alspach has nothing to do with.
Oh.
It's called Subdivision. It plays completely differently, but it has more or less the same theme, and they've just tied it in and made it a sequel because the art...
Yeah, similar looking thing.
Is the same. I say treat with caution. There's a second edition of Gloom coming out. Since Gloom appeared on... Feel free to interrupt me at any time.
Look, just
there's hundreds of games coming out.
No, look, it's just Gloom. Gloom just sends me to sleep. It's sort of like, if you want to pretend that it's a storytelling game, play a freaking role-playing game, for goodness sake. It's so dull.
Let's talk about something a little bit more interesting then. From Bruno Cathala.
Oh, yeah.
The Abyss.
This has got a fully blown trailer and everything, filmed trailer on the internet.
Nothing to do with the James Cameron film. The Abyss, Bruno Cathala's got several games coming out this year, but this is clearly the one that's got all the fanboys wetting themselves. The artwork's so beautiful. It actually comes in five different boxes.
Oh, really?
All limited edition, you can collect all five and get all the artwork.
As you would.
Very pretty. It's set in an underwater city that frankly reminds me of Jar Jar Binks' home. You're competing to become Lord of the Abyss. It looks wonderful, but let's wait and see how it actually
goes. Mr. Someone Abyss and Lord of the Abyss!
Bruno Cathala is also working with Days of Wonder to produce Five Tribes.
Oh yeah, this has had a lot of fanfare because Days of Wonder... They only produce one or two games a year.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's a Tales of Arabian Nights kind of theme, but with worker placement, and they're calling this their first gamer's game. Because traditionally the stuff they release is a little bit lighter. This looks like it's got some stuff to get your teeth into. Shadowrun Crossfire, which is set in the Shadowrun sci-fi magic universe. It's a cooperative deck builder that could give the Pathfinder card game a run for its money, maybe. And speaking of which, we've mentioned this before, Paizo are following up their Pathfinder game with the new base set Skulls and Shackles, which is pirate-themed. Nearly 500 cards in this base set. Mark, how does that compare to the first one?
Yeah, it has almost that many cards, I think, and still a lot of air. It is the world's biggest box, bigger than any other box apart from Twilight Imperium 3.
All right, a couple more, then we might take a break and come back to the rest of the list. From Fantasy Flight Games, one of the biggest publishers in all of board gaming, they hold the license for all the Star Wars games, and the big announcement that they've made in the past couple of days is Star Wars Armada. You've seen this, Mark. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, and look, it's almost like they've taken their other Star Wars game,
X-Wing,
and scaled everything down even more so they can bring in those massive big dreadnoughts, star destroyers, cruisers, that if they did those in the X-Wing universe, they would be bigger than your table.
Yeah.
So obviously they've had to scale it down for that, but it looks great.
It's only a matter of time, this means...
The Death Star.
Exactly. You know it's going to happen.
That's no moon.
It's a hand-painted model of the Death Star that you'll soon be able to
buy.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantasy Flight Games also launching their new collectible card game, Warhammer 40,000 Conquest. Meh. And they might be coming out with a new game from Ignace Trevicek.
Oh, yeah.
The Witcher.
He of Robinson Crusoe fame.
And a bunch of other stuff, which I'll talk about another thing in a sec. But the Witcher novels and the Witcher board game, I don't really know a lot about this, but when you look at the game, four heroes from the story, each with their own deck of cards, their own special powers, a variety of quests to complete. Not hearing anything terribly original so far, but it's the theme that's going to bring fans of The Witcher in. And it's Ignace Trevicek, who's an amazing designer, so you have to pay attention. The other big game that he's got at Gen Con is Imperial Settlers, which is a kind of solid mid-weight Euro resource game with very dumb artwork, but it does have asymmetrical powers and it's highly expandable, and I think that's going to prove to be quite popular over the next few years.
Okay, now before the listeners completely go to sleep, let's go to another track, and I'm going to come back and give you some half-assed news of my own about a game from Fantasy Flight that you don't have mentioned here because it was a complete surprise.
Okay, all right.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men cometh. A couple of Tassie tracks there. Shoe by Suo9 and You're Welcome Anytime by Cal. And look, before we go back into Gen Con, you might have noticed if you're on Twitter, at Dice Men cometh, we've been quoting when we come across a funny line in a game, you know, we do on the odd occasion.
Hashtag Dice Men quotes.
Yeah, and look, a couple from the weekend. Oh, Nick, is this Francis Drake? It looks different out of the box.
Funny that.
And me actually during Eldritch Horror, oh no, really bad stuff is going to happen if I roll a one right now. What are the chances of that? And Dave turned around and said, one in six. And of course, our new favourite game, Francis Drake, with that integral piece, the penis, which allows you to come up the rear.
Which we should explain is a small boat like a life raft or a skiff.
A long boat.
Yes, yes. AKA a penis.
Anyway. Gen Con.
And more hilarity to be had.
That's right. Now I was just going to say, Fantasy Flight Games have just announced today XCOM the board game. Of course, many of you will know XCOM the video game, a fantastic turn-based strategy game from the 80s and 90s.
You're trying to prevent an alien invasion.
Yeah, yeah? It's sort of like the movie Alien, I guess, in a lot of ways. But one of the exciting things they've announced about it is it's, and I'm reading here from their website, a digitally enhanced experience.
What?
Where the most notable aspect of XCOM the board game is the way it incorporates a free digital companion app into the core of the gameplay. The companion is easy to access, available both as an online tool or as a downloadable app.
My goodness, this internet thing's going to take off, isn't it?
Would you believe that within your game, the app heightens suspense as it both coordinates the alien invasion and permits a dynamic turn structure, something that would be impossible without its use.
So yet another game being released at Gen Con, along with, from Flying Frog Productions, Shadows of Brimstone.
Oh, it looks good, this one.
It's Descent, essentially. It's a Western-themed dungeon crawl, but with slightly better miniatures, and boy, that's saying something. They are very, very pretty. The thing about Flying Frog games, though, is that they're masters of style over substance, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Firefly from Gale Force 9, the Blue Sun expansion comes out.
You can't take the sky from me.
New systems to explore, new job contracts, more Reavers. Also, Gale Force 9 are releasing Sons of Anarchy, the game. I doubt it. I doubt it. Just putting that out there. You know, really, all these licenses, you've just kind of got to go in treading very carefully.
Yeah.
However, Bang, the card game, Bang, the Walking Dead.
Really?
That's right. Bang, redeployed with a Walking Dead theme pasted over the top from USAopoly. Conan, the Hyborian Quests. They try to do this with Conan every couple of years. Mm-hmm. There was an area control risk-type board game a few years back. This is essentially giving Conan the Descent treatment from what I can understand.
Yeah.
And IDW Games have got the X-Files game, which is, I believe, not going to be at Gen Con, but it is sort of coming out, you know, later in the year. Five players, everyone versus the cigarette-smoking man.
Oh, nice.
I want to believe. I really do with this one. Sentinels of the Multiverse gets a makeover with Sentinels Tactics, the Flame of Freedom, which redeploys the whole thing as a team versus team hex-based combat game that really we just don't need. What else we got? Argent, the Consortium from Level 99 Games, which is academic intrigue in a magical university with worker placement that looks horrible in Garish, but for some reason it's got a buzz around it. Temporum from Donald's Ex Vaccarino, Rio Grande Games. That's his time travel game that we've mentioned previously. There's just so much stuff.
There is.
Steve Jackson Games have got Hipster Dice, which has got a fantastic tagline for it. Get it before it's cool. And of course,
an expansion, a new expansion to Seven Wonders, I hear. Is it one that's going to make you be able to win?
It's called Seven Wonders Babel, and it puts out some sort of quarter circle tiles.
Pie pieces
that affect the whole game and can change everything, apparently. So instead of discarding a card, you can put one of these out as an alternative. Stronghold Games have got Panamax, which seems to be the heavy Euro of Gen Con.
It's a headache tablet,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
A recipe for a headache.
It's running the Panama Canal. It's got everything that the serious, overweight, bearded gamer needs, this one.
And one more?
Look, this, I've got hundreds
one
more.
One more, Jack Bauer. The time's ticking down.
Okay, Bomb Squad from Tasty Minstrel Games. We've talked about it before. It's a cooperative game along the lines of Flashpoint, but with bombs. One other key piece of information's fallen into place with this one. It's played in real time. Exactly. So it's Flashpoint with a bomb going off at the end. I haven't even mentioned any of the stuff from Z-Man, the Battle of Kembla's Cascade, Tragedy Looper, which is another sort of manga-themed time travel thing. You know what, Mark? There's a real glut of great sounding games. And you know what happens with a glut?
What?
It precedes a collapse.
Mm.
Any first year economics students is going to tell you that. Maybe that's something to follow up on in a later episode.
Let's have a
Dice
think
Man
about
Cometh.
It. But in the meantime, we've been the Dice Men Cometh. We are about to literally run out of time. Time is ending right now for us.
Jupiter's Rescue, Legendary
and,
Encounters,
X Radio 99.3 FM. We'll be back
Munchkin
next
expansions.
Week. We look forward to hearing from you. Hit us up on
There's
Facebook. Hit us up on
Zenit.
Twitter.
Dead of Winter.
We love yous all.
Destination
and we're going to go to a song. So have a great week.
Five Tribes. Oh, I mentioned that one. Oh, what else is there? Istanbul. I want to play that. Summoner Wars. Mice and Mystics.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.